Good morning. It's great to be here. I guess all the preachers say that, but I mean it, and I'm sure they do too, but I have a lot of reasons. One thing, I never give a dry sermon because I always have water, so thank you. Second thing, technology-wise, if I have any problem, we've got some really fantastic techies here. And also another reason, I enjoy the singing. And of course, I enjoy being with you people. There's a lot of you I know here personally. So thank you once again for inviting me. And thank you that we can look into the Word of God. Now, I've had a very interesting year. And we'll just tell you personally right now, I'm not a prophet. See, I thought it was going to be snowing. And I thought there'd be snow around here, so I put a snow picture on there. So that's first, but I believe I am a preacher because I love Jesus, and he called me to preach over 60 years ago. No. Over 65 years ago. So I love preaching the Word of God because I love Jesus. And I trust that you'll be profited by this particular sermon. We just make sure that technology works too, you know. That always helps. Okay. Oh, see, I lost connection. You know, you never lose connection with Jesus. You don't need batteries or nothing. The internet might go down, the electricity might go off, but you have 24/7 communication with Jesus. That's what I like about it, because you don't lose connection. Here we lost connection, but we'll see if we can find some connection again. Here we go. Let's try one more time. There we go. La bola. Vamos, vamos. It's trying. Do you want to change that thing then? And we'll find it. Yeah. Yeah. Just change it. Just push it next. Okay, push it. No, 1 minute. I might even have to preach from here. I hate being up there. I'd much rather be down here. Sure, we will. Let's see if we can get this thing going. That's right. You might remember that last June I was here. And last June we talked about Revelation. And I revealed to you what was happening to me. And I was reading in the scripture in January. I was in Argentina and I was saying, Lord, Lord, give me a message. Give me a message for the Argentines. I need a message, Lord. And I even got down on my knees and I prayed and I prayed. I couldn't get up very fast, but I finally did get up. Okay. And the Lord revealed to me that I was to speak on Revelations. Wow. I had never taken the whole book of Revelation and gone over it. I've taken Revelation 3 and 20 and different verses, but I never. So I started in Revelation. One of the reasons I did, because of this verse up there. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophet, Revelations, and blessed are those who hear it and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And when I read that, I said it's going to be a win-win situation. I can give the most lousiest sermon in the world, but God's going to bless it. And I'm sure I do give some lousy sermons. But you know, God's going to bless this message, not because of me, but because of the Word of God. Now, you know, if you remember, I was here on June the 8th. And 2025, yes. And we talked about Revelation chapter 4 because I was in Argentina when God revealed to me that I was to take the book of Revelation and I was to preach right through the whole book of Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 22. And so I started in Argentina, preached chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and boom, June, I was here, and I preached on chapter 24. And if you remember something about it, and it's still on internet, it's still on internet. Do you want to turn up the sound if you can? It's up there. Sound. No. Anyway, I preached on it. Now, if you want to hear that sermon again, it is on the internet. You can see in the below that, June the 8th, 2025, Dr. Ron Edgecombe, Revelation chapter 4, and you can hear it. I thought God led me to a great sermon because it says in chapter 4, after this I looked, and there behold me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard spoke to me like a trumpet sounding, saying, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And in verse 2 of chapter 4, at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and the rainbow that shone over like an emerald encircled the throne. And we talked about the whole book of Revelation chapter 4. And the Lord said, we started to get excited. I started getting excited about heaven. And there's four truths we talked about there. Just very quickly, we talked about the open door in heaven. We talked about the call up to heaven. We talked about the experience in heaven. And we talked about the view of heaven. Now, if you haven't heard that sermon, you can go back to the webpage. You have a beautiful webpage. I don't know who does it, but it's a beautiful webpage. And you can get that sermon. And then on later on, I spoke on Revelation chapter 13. Now, that's not on it because the machine didn't work. I think I probably turned it off, but I didn't. But anyway, it was a sermon on Revelation. September the 7th, I was here. And I asked you, were you written in the book? Like, I have an agenda book here, and I write the things in the agenda book. I have the computer, and I write things in the computer. I have my phone, and I write things in my phone. I have my iPad. But the book of the Lamb, the book of the Lamb. Remember we talked about that? And I asked you, is your name written down in the book? And I trust. Now, when Father's Day came along, I had a hard time because I was in a different chapter. And I said, Lord, give me a Father's Day message in chapter, I forget exactly what chapter, and he gave me one. And then Mother's Day came along, and now here's Christmas. Where am I going to find a Christmas message? It just happens to be that we're in chapter 21, and I'm going to be preaching in chapter 22 at 10th Avenue Gospel Chapel next week. So I'll be finishing the book of Revelation, and I've never taken the same message and preached it twice. Sometimes preachers do that. I talk to a lot of pastors, beautiful people. Some people are called of God to be pastors of a church. They preach in the church every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And they have to prepare a new sermon Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And they can't repeat the same sermon Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But when you're a traveling preacher, like I get on my horse every Sunday morning and I go to 10th Avenue Gospel Chapel or Parkcrest Gospel Chapel or Cascades Gospel Chapel or Heather Bible Chapel. And then I get off my horse and I preach. But this year, I never preached the same sermon twice. I had to preach one on the Ezra chapter 4, another one on Ezra chapter 10 for Parkcrest. But here we are asking God, what is there in Revelation chapter 20? And we're going to be talking about the Lamb. The Lamb is the light. The Lamb is the light. We sang about it this morning. I believe that was God said, the Lamb is the light. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to chapter 22 of Revelation. We're going to see what God has for us. The Lamb is the light. You got it there? Chapter 4? Oh, we got it. We got connection now. Whoopee! There we go. The Lamb is the light. And we're going to talk about the scripture is chapter 21, verse 23. For the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God giveth light. The Lamb is its lamp. The Lamb is its lamp. What a Christmas message. What a time of blessing we have. Now, I might say that right now. I hope, you know, I don't like Christmas. You know, here we get Christmas. What do we get? We get, here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. We get all of those songs. I don't like it. But thank God for Christmas because people are open. There's beautiful tracks out there. I checked on it. There's beautiful Christmas tracks out there. Take a bunch of them and give them out to people because people are open. And there's a lot of new Canadians really honestly don't know what Christmas is all about. And we have the answer because the Lamb is the light, the Lamb of God. And who is the Lamb of God? Remember John the Baptist stood there and the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God. He was being baptized by John the Baptist. Here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he came at Christmas time. Now, we don't know exactly if it was the 24th, 25th. We celebrate it the 24th because in Latin America, that's what they do. But he might have been the 25th. We have special services during the whole week. But the Lamb is light. The city does not need the sun or the moon or shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. For the Lamb is the light. We talked about the weather a couple times this morning. I came in and I talked to one of you. I'm not going to tell you who it is. And I said, have you seen the sun this morning? No. No. I said, I saw the sun. Where did you come from? I saw the Son of God. The S-O-N, not the S-U-N. And he shines. He makes me. I look at your face. Some of you look a little sad. Oh, there, I got a smile. You know, but that I see Christ in you. I listen to these two people singing here. Beautiful. I hear the piano, the guitar. I see Christ in their lives serving Jesus because Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus, we sing it, we see it in the Bible. It says, come to the light. We are to go to the light. We are to go to Jesus because he is the light of the world. And we're going to see more about that. Let me see if this is going to work this time. Let's just see. We don't know if it's going to work. Maybe it won't work. Oh, there it goes. It does. Oh. Let's see if the music's gone. Let's look at this. You can sing along if you want. I won't because since the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. Light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we, Jesus in mind. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. Thank you.
was in darkness with sin blinded eyes.
The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Won't you come to the light till shining for thee? Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Are you excited? Are you excited about the light of the world? Because we're going to be studying, we're going to be looking at his birth shortly. And if we don't get anything else from this meeting today, I want you to go home and think the light of the world is Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus. The light is the world of Jesus. The light of the world. That is the most important thing. We wouldn't have the trouble in Ukraine today if they realized that Jesus was the light of the world. We wouldn't have trouble in Russia, in Israel. All the wars and rumors of wars and all the problems in the world, we wouldn't have it. Jesus is the light of the world. And the whole idea of salvation and the whole idea of security and hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus. I tell people I've been to 79 different countries. Do you know how many airplanes that is? Do you know how many times airplanes broke down and I had to get off of airplanes under airports and going down the runway and skidding like this? I mean, I've gone through so much jungles in going from one place to another because the plane doesn't work. I have to get a jungle taxi and go. But I've always had hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and his righteousness. And I can go through anything. I was telling our brother earlier this morning, yes, I had two fathers and four mothers, and I went to 8 different schools and just had a terrible upbringing. But at 10 years old, up at Amble Island Bible Camp, I said, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today. And do you think I knew anything about, the paramedics are going to come again. If I get too excited, this goes off. But do you know, realize how many times God has saved me from different problems? But he's always there. I didn't know anything about him when I accepted him. All I knew that it says in the Bible, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way of salvation is to trust in Jesus. And Jesus is not still in the manger. He's not in the arms of Joseph or Mary. He lived here for 33 years and he died for you and I. And that's the Christmas message. That's the real Christmas message. The hope. Introduction. At Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who brings salvation and hope to the world. In Revelation, we are reminded that Christ is not only the Savior, but the eternal source of life and life. The vision of the New Jerusalem, illustrated by the Lamb, offers us a powerful message about his role in history, eternity, and daily life. Yes, Jesus is the source of light and life. Do you really want to know whether you should go there? Do you really want to know if you should do this? Do you really realize that you should practice that? I'm telling you, and the Word of God has an answer for it. It's not always clear, but he gives us the Holy Spirit. He didn't leave. I was an orphan. I was in an orphanage. But I've been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. So I'm a part of the family of God. And he gave me a present. He gave me the Holy Spirit. Now, he's a real person. It's not a like a Halloween thing. It's a real deal. He's in me. He can be in you. When you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come into your life, and he'll guide you. He'll help you. Oh, I make lots of mistakes. Don't worry. Oh, boy. They don't call me Rocking Ron for nothing, you know. Other people call me Rotten Ron. But the thing is, I come to Jesus and I'll say to him, Father, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a win-win situation. Sure, you're going to have trouble, but you've got somebody beside you to help you, to encourage you, to stimulate you. My first father, it was a one-night stand. My second father, he was terrible. She left. My third mother, she went, I don't know. My fourth mother. But God was always there. My heavenly Father was always there. He was with me. He guided me. He helped me. The next day, Jesus saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, look. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is found in John chapter 1, verse 30. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself do not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Jesus is that Lamb of God. And he died sacrificially for you and I on the cross. So we're going to look in Revelation 21. The Christ, the Lamb, is the light of the world. Then we're going to take Christ, the Lamb, brings redemption and restoration. Restoration. I was in Goma, Zaire. 1.5 million refugees in Goma, Zaire. And I was standing in front of there was 1.5 million and there was five. What's five divided by 1.5 million? Anyway, they're all there. And we're showing pictures of Christ in that. And we're telling the refugees about Christ. You know, if a rock had got and hit that Pantaja, which was as big as this wall, there would have been a riot. But I wasn't afraid because I was telling those poor Rwandans that Jesus is the light of the world. And I talked about restoration. I talked about the whole idea redemption, the Lamb, our eternal hope. The Lamb is the light of the world. Yes. Romans 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There it is. There it is. Jesus will help you. And you know, we have a family here at Heather. And if you're new to Heather, talk to some of the people here. Talk to Ken. Talk to anybody up here on the stage. Talk to them. They want to be your friend. If you know Jesus, they're your brother or your sister. And if you don't know Jesus, when you accept Jesus, you become part of the family of God and you become part of the family at Heather Bible Chapel. Well, I have community. Cascades Church, I've been going there since 1953. And they've put up with me all those years. I mean, I've gone there, not put up with me. Yeah, well, I guess that's true too. Revelation 22:5 says, but there was no more light. They will not need the light of the Lamb, light of lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. The Lamb brings redemption and restoration. In the Garden of Eden, you're going to see, but Ron, that's unfair because Adam and Eve sinned. So sin came into the world. I didn't sin, you're going to see, but it was Adam and Eve's fault. But see, by one man, you can be restored back to that first part with God. There's only one way to God. It says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So I can get to God, not through coming just to Heather Bible Chapel, even though it's a great place to come, not just because I give money in the offering, not just because I give blood to the Red Cross, not just because I help little old ladies cross the street. I think they think I'm hitting on them now because I'm an old man, so I guess I shouldn't use that example. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. I'm redeemed, I'm restored, I'm in good relationship with God because of Jesus. Not because I'm good. I'm not good. I'm glad you don't know what I think of sometimes. Revelation 5, 9, and they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, and people and nation. Isn't that good? Si vous voulez parler français, nous pouvons parler français. God died for all the French. Habla español si quiere hablar español, but all the people who speak Spanish. Oh, that's not very good translation, is it? Anyway, you know what I mean? God loves all the people. That doesn't matter. Some people say, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this anymore, but I'll say it. You know, God loves everybody. Red or yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves everybody. Everybody is special. And you're special. You might not think so. Maybe your dad said you were a rotten egg. Maybe your dad says you're good for nothing. All those things were said to me. But God loved us so much that he gave his son for us. Redemption, renewal, and restoration. I'm restored back to God through Jesus. I'm renewed. I'm a new person to Christ. I've been born again. I was born once into this world as a sinner, but because of Christ, one man dying for me, I can be renewed, I can be restored, I can be redeemed by Jesus. That's pretty special to me. That's chapter 20, 21. Christ, the Lamb of God, offers eternal hope. So true. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, look, God dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. Are you looking forward to it? I am. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Something's going to happen the way the world is today. As I said, I'm not a prophet, so I can't tell you when it's going to come. Nobody really can tell you because it's between the God. So we see Christ from the cradle, which we're going to be remembering in this month. We're going to see him at the cross, and then he's coming back. Coming again. Coming again. He's coming back for those of you who love and worship him. This Christmas, let the message of the Lamb's light and hope transfer our lives. That's what Christmas is really all about. We have a Christmas tree, yeah, I like it. The kids like it. But we have a manger there. And I've had people come into my house and they really didn't understand what the manger was about. Can you imagine? 2025. This Christmas, let the message of the Lamb's light and hope transfer your life. Reflect, considering how Jesus the Lamb has brought light into your personal life and into the world that desperately needs it. Rejoice. Celebrate the fullness of God's promise in Christ and anticipate the glorious day when he will reign again. And lastly, respond. That's what I want you to do. Share the light of Christ with others through your act of love, kindness, and sharing the gospel. That's what we're here for. If you know Jesus, grab a calendar. If you don't want the calendar, grab it anyway. It's full of Bible verses. And you'll go to somebody, hi, how are you? I'm your neighbor here. Yeah, I haven't seen you all year. No, well, your leaves, there's no snow yet. Can I rake up your leaves for you? How much? Nada, nothing, rien. Okay, see what I mean? Show your love for your neighbors. Take that nice cherry pie or apple pie to the neighbor. They might fall down with a heart attack. I don't know because people don't do those things, but we do it in our house. Most of the people in my neighborhood I can't speak to. They speak another language. which I tried to learn, but my head was already full with a couple of languages, so it just wouldn't enter in. The hard drive was full. This Christmas, let the message of the Lamb, light and hope, transfer our lives. Reflection, rejoice, and respond. Respond to the message. That message is, Jesus is there, his arms wide open. He's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is calling you to come to him. What a Christmas it would be for you to come to Jesus. And if you are in the arms of Jesus, tell others. And every time you tell it, you're going to, I shake still. I shake. I perspire still. I give hundreds of New Testaments out. I stand on the corners of the sky trains giving out, people think I'm a fanatic. Well, I am a fanatic for Jesus. And that might not be your gift, but maybe you can't talk about Jesus, but you can give a tract out. Just a little piece of paper out there. Tell people about Jesus. That's what it's all about. Pause and reflect on this whole matter of repenting and restoring your relationship with God. Rejoice in Jesus. I know what abundant life is. I mean, sure, I've had two hip operations. I had knee operation. I've had four hernias. I've had my open heart surgery. I could go on and on. But every time I rejoice, because when I'm in the hospital, I can tell those wonderful nurses and doctors that Jesus said, I'm not scared of the operation. Cut me open. Take my heart out. But don't forget to put it back. That's what I always tell them. And I think they did put it back. But you understand what I mean? Take every opportunity. They give food out here. They give bread. I don't know if there's bread today. But grab an extra loaf. It's Cobb bread. I buy it. It's $7.95 sourdough. Grab one and give it to your neighbor. Please respond. Not to me, but to the Word of God. That's what God wants us. He wants us to respond. Christmas is more than a celebrating of Christ's birth. It is a declaration of his ultimate victory as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and brings eternal hope. As we celebrate, let us keep our eyes fixed on the vision of Revelation, where his glory will shine forever, reminding us of the endless joy we have in him. Sound, see if it works. This is it, and then I'll close in a word of prayer. thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, once again, for just the possibilities of coming together on this Sunday morning, raining out, foggy a little bit in places, no sun, a little cold. But Father, we thank you that we have breath. And we think of all those people in other parts of the world that are suffering. And here we are sitting in a nice, comfortable place where people love us, where people want us to be part of the family, not their family, but the family of God. And we just pray if there's any lonesome people here this Christmas season. We know it's a time, Father, that Christmas is a lonely time for a lot of people. A lot of people have lost their loved ones during the year. For a lot of people, this will be the first Christmas without their wife or their husband. We pray for them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, you might continue to bless Heather. We thank you for the many activities. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many workers here. And we ask, Lord, that you might continue to bless. For each person here, we ask a blessing for 2026. We pray, Lord, that you'll work through them and that they'll work for you. We ask you this in the precious, wonderful, loving, caring name of Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.